spirit of selfishness, and when we begin to do that as a nation, the rest of the nations of the world will die. They'll starve to death. We've got Mexico has just entered into starvation. It's taken them 6 years, but now they've gotten to where they've just entered into it. Millions of people in Peru, Ecuador, Central America, the wars that have been going on down there for years and years, the orphanages. In Mexicali, Mexico, they got 5 orphans in one city. This not even as big as Dayton, Ohio. You can imagine the tragedy, and here we're sitting on it. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, that's the crime. Folks, it's just not fair. And this is what God's showing us. We are a compassionate people. We are a merciful people. We're out to share. And the church must become a funnel. It must become a funnel where God can pass stuff through us to others. And that's the way the church grows. And that's the reason the church has stopped growing. We've stopped letting it pass through. We've choked it off, and we begin to store it up. One of the fastest growing businesses in the United States are many warehouses where we've stored our junk. We're not going to give it to nobody. We're going to put it up and save it because I might need it when I'm 95 years old. I know some of you may not like this, but folks, I'm going to tell you, this is what I experienced. Listen to this. The man who can be trusted in little things can be trusted in great things. Somebody tell me what a little thing is.
Money.
No, money's not little. That's a big item. Well, but now let's think about it. Let's think about it from the natural to the supernatural. You know how I discovered this message? I discovered it from the creed. Tomorrow I'm going to share the creed with you. The most powerful tool of evangelization that the church has ever had or ever will have. And we just go through it and say it, have no idea what we're saying. When God said that there was only one God, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, which would you say in there is a big thing and a little thing? Which is a little thing?
Earth.
Which is the big thing? All right, let me read this again and listen to it. It said, the one that can be trusted with the things of this earth can be trusted with the things of God. Doesn't that make sense? If we learn the wisdom of God, the joy of God, the excitement of God, then God can begin to give us the wisdom of God. He can begin to give us the kingdom of God here on this earth. The knowledge of it, the wisdom of it. But if we're storing up and heaping up, it'll never come. It only comes when you begin to empty yourself. And some of you folks in here know what I'm talking about because you've been emptied. I mean, you have been flat, boned, emptied, and you're just like little babies crying out to God, and God is taking and filling your need. Amen?
Amen.
You ought to see the looks on your faces. Folks, this is the Word of God. We ought to be happy. We ought to say, well, praise God. We'll just get rid of our junk. Amen? We wonder why we've had some tremendous growth in the spirit life and the spirit seminars. And this morning my brother and I were talking, and we said, we wonder why it died. I'm going to tell you why. If you experience God and you don't go according to His Word, you got nothing, absolutely nothing to grow on. Unless you were willing to empty yourself and let it be filled, empty yourself and let it be filled, empty yourself and let it be filled, there'll never be the joy of God living in your heart. You got to let it be emptied. You got to let it flow out from you. You got to preach the Word. You got to let it flow. You got to be willing to give. You know this ministry don't sell anything? You know we're no longer in business? You know that we've chopped off the business of this world? Freely we have received, freely we give. You know, that's the reason I got the joy, and I'm absolutely convinced it's because God's allowed me to see the wisdom in this. I couldn't see it before. I'd read stuff like this, and I'd be blind as a bat. I'd just say, well, you know, I don't understand that. Surely he made a mistake when he wrote that. Are you folks listening? All right, now listen to what he said. The man who's dishonest with little things will be dishonest with great things. Folks, if we can't be honest with the things of this world, we'll be dishonest with the things of God. God gives them to us, we're still dishonest with them. We're going to learn God here on this earth. We're not going to learn it somewhere else. We're going to live it here or it won't be lived. Amen?
Yes.
Y'all say yes.
Yes.
I got 30 more minutes. Isn't this good? It is. See, the light of Jesus, when it comes in, see, our problem in the church is we don't know what to do. We're sheep that are being led by the blind, and so the whole church is blind. And the wealth of the world and saving the things of the world and heaping up to the things of the world, that to God, that's sinful. That's missing God's mark. If we're following Jesus, He said He emptied Himself. He was emptying Himself. Emptying Himself. Emptying. I get no greater thrill than to receive something and give it. And every once in a while, I'll take a bite. You know what St. Paul said? He said, don't muzzle the ox. When he's out there working, treading out the grain, let him take a bite. Let him reach down and eat some of the grain as he goes along. Because if you don't, he'll die. He'll quit treading out the grain. Every once in a while, I'll reach in and take a bite of what people gives us. I do. Y'all see, I hadn't lost no weight. Amen. Now, my brother, he hadn't been biting too much because he hadn't had a whole lot to bite on. Look how skinny he is. We're going to change that, aren't we?
Amen.
Huh? We're going to change it. We're going to let that brother eat a little bit. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God's good.
Amen.
It's good. You know, people called me a fool when I started doing it. I didn't even know why. I didn't know this. When I began to empty myself, I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that God, the first thing I thought was that God never sold anything, and if I was going to follow Jesus, I had to be like Him, and He didn't own a thing, and so I just began to give my stuff away, and people said, well, you're a fool. Look what God gave you all this, and you're to be a good steward over these things. You save them up and pile them up, and you stewardship them. You hatch them. You sit on them. I said, you know, I don't believe God did that. And I just begin blind faith, total blind faith. Folks, I only found this years after I had emptied myself. Can you imagine the joy in my heart when I discovered that I'd done right? Can you imagine the joy? People say, how do you stay on the road week after week after day, and you just keep going, preaching? I said, because I got the joy of Jesus in my heart. I said, what I have done, I can find it in the Word. This is the kingdom of God, folks. And then he says this. If you then cannot be trusted with money, that's our biggest problem, isn't it? That tainted thing, how will you be trusted with genuine riches? If we can't be trusted, if we save up and heap up and store up money, how would we ever, we would be the same way with the kingdom of God, we'd store it up, we'd save it up, and we wouldn't share it with nobody. If God, you know, people say, well, you know, God's very private. No, I'm not sharing it. Well, boy, oh boy. Dear Lord. You just run into a constipated Christian. They've got no out, and they are dead. Just like the Dead Sea. I thank God for Israel because we can see there the spirit life, the Sea of Galilee. It's got a big flowing river coming in and it's got a big flowing river going out. The water's always being renewed. It's not holding it, it's sharing it. And the Dead Sea, it's got a big river coming in and nothing goes out and it's laying there. Nothing can live in it. It's dead. And unless we have an out for our excess and out for those things that we've tried to store up. Folks, we're dead. You can never learn God storing up the things of this world. You can't learn Him. Folks, it's just, it won't work. And then he says this. This is the giveaway of this whole thing. He said, if you cannot be trusted with what is not yours, who can give you what is your very own? if you can't be trusted with what's not yours. Folks, are we checking out of here? Did we bring anything in here? Are we going to take anything out? Then what are we doing saving it up? Jesus said, it's... Well, you know, I'm saving for a rainy day. Yeah, a rainy day will come and take it. That is not the wisdom of God. That is not scriptural. And that's what I learned all my life. I've got to save for a rainy day. God said, what for? Rainy day will come and take it. You have enough problems, and today, you live today, preach my word today, exalt me today, shout in your glory in me today. He said, I'll give you a place to stay and I'll give you food. This sister, she took off from Detroit. She didn't have no idea where she'd stay. She said, God's called me and I'm on my way. And you know what? She had a place to sleep last night and it doesn't look like she lost any weight over the night. Not that she needs to lose any. I'm not picking on, I'm just using these as hypothetical situations. Our problem is if we had to leave our home, we'd die. If you had to walk away and say, I'm just going to leave it, and you know God said, be ready to abandon everything. Oh, I can't leave my house. Folks, it's not ours. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't say this to be critical, but the folks, our houses, and I was just this way. You had to be very careful walking in my house because I had so much junk that you'd have to move things to walk. I'm going to tell you that is a spirit that we have to get rid of in the church. Our houses should be fixed where people can have a place to sleep. My whole house is a bedroom. Whole house. We sleep in, we got four bedrooms, and we got two sofas that are beds. And you know, most of the time they're full. Turn the garage into a bedroom where people can sleep. The man who can be trusted, I'm sorry, if you cannot be trusted with what's not yours, how can God give you what is your very own? Do you know that Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you, that we have a place prepared for us in heaven? And God said, now, Charlie, if you can't share what you have here, how are you going to share something that you don't even own? If you got something, you don't even own it. If you can't share it, how will you ever be able to share the kingdom of God with me? Say that I died and went to the kingdom, and God said to be a co-laborer is to be a co-owner. Amen? So I own all of heaven. All that you'll ever see, I own it. All that there is, God said, for me to work with Him is to own it. Now, can you imagine me getting to heaven and telling my brother, I'm sorry, out. There ain't enough up here for both of us. And you know that's what we're saying down here? Sorry, I've got to take care of myself. I don't have eyes for nobody else. It's me and me alone, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to provide for myself. I'm not looking to nobody else. How if we can? And it don't even belong to us. It doesn't, folks, it's not ours. That truck out there isn't mine. And the only reason I'd have a truck is to take your excess that we're going to get, because it's excess. And we're going to haul it to a people that don't have nothing. That's the way we win friends. If we don't, we'll start a war. Because they'll get so hungry that they'll come up here and they'll be lean and mean, and they will attack us fat cats, and we can't run, and they'll eat us up. That's exactly what will happen. You'll be stuck in your house. You say, I can't go. No. The only ones that will be able to get out of here are those that aren't attached to nothing. You folks that are attached. When you ever seen somebody die that was really attached to the things of this world? It's a horrible thing to watch. I mean, they just scream all the way out unless we drug them to where they can't scream. And we'll pop them full of drugs so they'll keep quiet. Don't want them hollering. We got stuff to keep them quiet. And you ever notice they'll pump them full of drugs and they'll say, and they'll want a preacher to go, oh, don't mess with that brother. He's sick and dying. We don't want to shake him up. The guy's fixing to go to hell and they don't want to shake him up. Let him go on off to hell. Isn't that amazing? I walked into a room one day and I said, brother, and the doctor told him he was dying. His wife told him he was dying. He knew he was dying, and they asked me to go see him, and I went up and I said, brother, could I pray with you? He said, what for? I said, well, you're dying. He said, I don't need your prayers. Selfish. He didn't need anything from me because he was full. He could pay it. I got enough insurance to pay this doctor bill. I got enough insurance to take care of my wife. What do I need you for? I can take care of even when I'm dead. What do I need you for? You see, folks, church needs one another. And this is where we are. God said if we can't be trusted with what's not ours, if we can't share these things that aren't ours, how are we ever going to share the kingdom of God? We won't ever be able to share it. And in the same note with this, it said, no servant can be a slave to two masters. He will either hate God and love money, or he will love God and hate money. Have you ever seen anybody hate money? Have you ever seen anybody disrespectful for money? Have you ever seen anybody walk in and throw their wallet on the floor and pull out a gun and just start shooting it? Big Tommy gun. Have you ever seen anybody like that? We don't hate money, do we? We love it. And you know, God said, if you love money, you hate God. And I know what people say, well, I love money and I love God. You can't love both. If we are lovers of God, we are lovers of people. And the bishops tell us to go in search of those that have need. We use our resources to help people. If you're not, you're storing it up and you're keeping it and you're only looking out for yourself. There is no life in that. And it's the reason our churches are dead. The reason there's no praise in our church. The reason that there's no excitement and enthusiasm in our church. Because we're selfish. Amen?
Amen.
We just are. But you know what all that can change?
Yeah.
You know, right? I'm going to tell you right now it can change. You can make a decision. See, God, the thing that makes us above animals is you and I can decide. We can make a decision. We can make a decision to love. We can make a decision by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're not going to be selfish anymore. Freely God's given to us, and freely we're going to extend it to others. We're going to begin to look for those less fortunate and bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus. God said when you do that, you're blessed, blessed, blessed. The wisdom and the knowledge and the joy of God will begin to flood your heart. You'll get so excited you can't stand it. Had a young man a month ago sitting right up on the front row in San Leandro, California, and I just made the comment that I hadn't had any food. I had not been able to take any food to an orphanage in over 5 months, and my heart was just hurting because I hadn't been able to do that. And I said, we took up an offering to buy a truck, and then I said, this brother, I said, we need credit to buy the truck. This brother raised his hand. And he went and bought the truck, and I gave him the keys. I said, now you drive it. And he went to see firsthand the poor. Go in search of those in need. Go look at them, and you'll never save up anything again. You see the look in a child's eyes when he's not eating for 3 days. It'll break your heart. And our heart must be broken. Our hearts are selfish and hard. And we just, folks, when we give, it's almost like, boy, I am really doing you a favor. You're not doing me no favor. You're doing yourself a favor.
Amen.
Giving is a joy that you will have. It's not going to be no great big joy for me. All I got to do is go find somebody to give it to. That's work. Amen. That's what, but you know, that's what God's called me to do. Go find somebody to give it to. The bishops tell me that's what I got to do. Go find somebody to give it to. Do you know that our ministry doesn't have any insurance? Do you know that we don't have any kind of retirement benefits? Do you know that the people sitting in this room that's been preaching at you this week are not on salary? Do you know they're here just because God's called them? Now, I know that it's not going to be long before they're going to be, we're going to have, the ministry's going to have to provide for them because they've run out of their own. And I want to tell you, I've really been praying, and I'm going to preach this message even harder, for this ministry to do what God's called it to do. People are going to have to know that if this is a ministry that God has raised up, then the people have to support it. Amen? The people just have to support it. And you support it from your excess. Listen to this. Let's go back over to our Constitution, and I've got 10 minutes to go through this, and I can do it. Matthew 6, 19. Most of you probably heard me preach this, but today I'm preaching it under a different light. The only way Jesus could have preached this message was to be emptied. He couldn't have had a pocket full of money and preach this message. Or he couldn't have had a great big house up on the hill to preach this message. Or he could, I mean, folks, he had to have abandoned himself to preach this. Now, I'm not going to say that he didn't have a place to stay. I'm not going to say he didn't have something to eat. And he said, go up there and get that donkey because I need it. I need transportation. He used those things that he needed. And so do we. We use things, but we don't possess them. And we use things to benefit other people. All right? It says, do not store up treasures for yourself on this earth. Now, how could Jesus preach that? He would have had to empty himself to say, do not. This is the wisdom of God. Remember over in Ecclesiastes, those that are pleasing to God, he gives them wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Do not store up for yourself treasures on this earth. If you'll enter into that, you'll enter into wisdom, knowledge, and joy. You'll become the most excited person that you've ever seen. Excitement. Where the moth and rust destroy them, or the thief can break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither the moth nor rust can destroy them, or the thief can break in and steal. It says, for where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Jesus is warning us that if we put our hearts and our things into money, and the things that money buys, there's not going to be any joy in us. There just won't be any joy. We've got to be willing to share if God is to be glorified. Now, how many of you have experienced moths in your life? You know what moths are. You know that the moth will only bother the rich? Only those people that can store up things and store it away, the moth will bother it. The poor never have a problem with moths. They're never attacked. They just aren't. And the moth has never attacked what you wear. But the minute you store it, the moth will try to get it. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine? Jesus said, don't store up for you things where a thief can steal it. What does a thief steal? If this woman's house was broken tonight, he would probably come in and get this wonderful, beautiful gold chain, that gold little thing around her neck, and whatever thing, the gold diamond, the diamond rings, the gold watches, whatever we got, gold and brass, silver. The thief will steal that. Jesus said, don't get involved in that. Can you imagine today? Can you imagine this? People starving and us hanging things on this flesh to glorify it. I'm going to tell you, folks, it is very difficult for me to get up here and say this because I know people get smashing mad at me. I had a lady walk into a meeting one night and she was all hooked over like this. And I said, praise God, here comes a woman we can pray for and get her old back healed. And the reason she was all stumped over because she had 14 gold chains hanging around her neck. She couldn't even raise up. She's walking in like this. So many rings on their fingers, they can't pick their hands up to praise God. We wonder why we're dead. We wonder why there's no life. We wonder why the charismatic renewal is just stopping. I want to tell you folks, the things that I've seen on television, the big glamorous rings and all the jewels and all that stuff we pile all over this happy old flesh and people starving to death. No wonder it died. We're a holy people passing through this life. And Jesus said, don't store up those things. He said, your heart will get in it. You know, we packed up clothes. We've got clothes stored that we've increased our homeowner's insurance policy to cover the junk that we stored. We're not going to share it with nobody. And we wonder why we have to work two jobs to keep everything paid. And we're strapped all the time, strapped. It's because we're trying to take care of so many things. We're not depending on God for nothing. All God said, He said, you be a funnel. You share my grace. You share my mercy. You share those things that I've given you. And He says, I'll take care of you. I'll give you a home in every city. You'll have 100 homes. You'll have thousands of homes. You'll have thousands of families. You'll be able to go anywhere. He said, those that abandon themselves, you can't have enough places to go. I can go anywhere in the world right now, and people will greet me at the airport and take me to their home. And I know what you're saying. They said, well, if everybody's doing what you're doing, Charlie, we wouldn't have a home to go to. What's going to happen to the homes? They're not going to go anywhere. They're still there. We would just have places to go. We wouldn't. Motel business would go out of business. Hotels would go out of business. Resort centers would go out of business because we'd be too busy fellowshipping with one another. We wouldn't need big cruise ships.
No.
Church is holy. We're not to save up things on this earth. Folks, God's what He's trying to tell. Listen to the love message. If you've got things in your closet, shoes that you can't wear, drawers that you can't wear, we've just gotten too big, we've eaten too much, and we just can't get in them too more, don't hang on to them. Find somebody that has a need and give it to them. That's what God's saying to us. It's not difficult. But we're going to save it up so when I lose weight, I can get back in. It's my favorite dress. The minute you lose the weight, you're going to go out and buy a new one because you deserve it. Boy, I've worked hard to get this weight off. I'm going to go out and treat myself. Still ain't going to give it away. Folks, we put our hearts into things. Do you know there's enough resources in this room right here to buy another truck right out there? You know that? There's enough resources in this room to buy 10 trucks. There is. If everybody was single-minded, single-hearted, committed, dedicated to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, there's enough. We ought to own every television station in Dayton, Ohio. But you know what? We'll say, well, you know, I can't do all. Just one of me. I can't really do nothing. There's only one of me. I could never believe that God could have used me the way He has. It staggers me sometimes to think of what God's allowed me to do and what He's allowed me to see. Just amazes me. There's no limit to what God can do when His people make up their mind that Jesus Christ is Lord, He is risen, He is seated in heavenly places. By faith, we're there with Him, and we're passing through this life, and the only thing that will bring life in this world is we begin to live the words of Jesus, live His words.